Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, December 7th, 2016. I'm Michael Kohlberg, and I'm here with my friend Anna Ordley. I'm a psychotherapist in New York City and in Hudson, New York. And Anne,
I'm here at my bright red desk on a rainy day, on an early morning, a day early, and I'm an astrologer here in New York. What Michael and I do every week is we get together and we talk, and we kind of solve the problems of the world, right, Michael?
Well, we're not doing very well.
I know. Or we give you coping skills, maybe, on how to handle the problems of the world. It's definitely an iterative
process.
We do our best, yeah. But we do get nice notes from you from time to time who listen in our audience and say thank you for that observation. So we got a nice note again this week, Michael.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, I'll forward it along to you.
Okay.
Yeah, so people like the show. Somebody wrote, yeah, this is really good. You know, you're not on Facebook, so
no.
I'm not on Facebook, so... I don't have a way to get that to you because I can email you emails, but when they Facebook post and they go, thanks, that was helpful. So I do, so we like sharing those with Michael because, you know, he's not a Facebook guy, but I have to remember to copy and paste when I see them. So at any rate, a rainy day, December 7th, it is Pearl Harbor Day, 75 years ago. It went down, right, I think, something like that. And, it was definitely a big day in U.S. history. There's been a lot of memorial stuff around it. It was my grandfather's birthday, and my mother remembers when she was 11. So, yeah, it was Pearl Harbor Day. My grandfather's birthday, you know, they were in the car when the news came and thinking he was going to go to war. So it's forward we are. So, and what are you up to? Or what is your memory? Do you have a memory of Pearl Harbor? You weren't around.
No, I wasn't born.
Did they tell anything to you about it? Maybe it's because my grandfather's birthday.
No.
No.
Okay. I mean, I learned about it.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was from World War II, but he was in Europe.
Oh, he was in Europe? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, December 7th, 1941.
So,
just
no.
Googled it.
So, what's going on? People, it seems to me, are burrowed in.
Yes.
That's what it feels like.
Okay.
Yeah. It feels to me like there's something brewing. The guy had strong feelings about a large explosion,
mm-hmm.
not in New York, and I could not. I had no sense of whether it was man-made or earth-made.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Black Swan, the concept Black Swan kept coming up, and a Black Swan is something that you don't expect.
Right.
Like from left field kind of thing. So whatever, but it was quite strong a couple of days ago, and now I can still feel it, but it's like a hum rather than a.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. I don't know what else to say about that. Many people. You're certainly welcome to discard it because I can't get any more information.
And it wasn't tied to the Oakland fires.
No.
No.
No. It would be way bigger.
Way bigger. Okay.
It's something that affects the direction of the collective. That's all I know.
Mm, okay.
So, and I don't know what it means. I certainly don't mean for people to panic. It's not a panicky kind of thing. It's just a kind of like whatever. Do you think, Anne, remember I sent you those things?
Yes,
is that useful, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
All right, so the two things that really stuck out, I read over the weekend,
mm-hmm.
and they, you know, don't obviously go together, but the way that I feel things say it exactly the same way, they completely lit up. And that mm-hmm. seems to be happening a lot in my experience where, I'm sorry, it's not in my head, but... A bunch of things, like, I'm taking a class.
Right.
And it is not easy for me to do well in this class. It's once a month on a Thursday and a Friday, and it's a therapy technique I want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally get all the hard stuff, like how to look at something and all that, but you have to slice things very, very thinly and ask just very layered questions to get people to have an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so meta at the moment. I have to, you know, I'm seeing like definitely the big picture, that it's very hard for anything to go in. And I am embarrassed about it, or a little ashamed that I cannot make myself learn this, and at the same time know that there's no way, because there's so much coming at me that I am tuned in to the opposite end of things, which is the big picture at all times. So I was thinking about it, which I do, and I'm going to go tomorrow. It's Thursday and Friday tomorrow.
Oh, good. Okay.
And what lit up was when I was a little kid, I went to a very fancy camp, and it was, I guess, really famous for being a water skiing camp. It had a professional level competing team, and it also was a really good horseback riding camp, which was my thing. But I was deeply uncoordinated, and I was the only person in the history of the camp. I started going when I was 7. I was the youngest kid, and then second youngest kid. And then I went all the way through college every summer, and it saved me. And the camp director was a lighted soul for sure. And he gave whoever I was the only person ever to have private, individual water skiing lessons every single day at rest period.
Wow.
And he gave whoever got me up like a free night out and steak dinner. I mean, it was like, no, it's one of those things where deep kindness made me humiliated.
Mm-hmm.
But when I finally got up, and it took a long time,
mm-hmm.
I got up. That was it. From then on, I was able to, I got it.
Right.
So what came up for me was, you're going to have the same experience with this therapy.
Oh, interesting.
So that led me to, you know what, I need to hire somebody to sit with me and have conversations so that I can, in action,
figure it out.
Have the experience of tuning into the level of questioning to ask.
Right.
So it's manipulating what I have to work with.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be by sitting in this class. It's going to be in action. So that kind of thing is happening a lot. And I think probably that kind of experience is available to other people, where if you just relax,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get some kind of information about how to take the next step. Because I think there's a lot of energy pulling for us.
Right.
So that was relevant to what I'm going to read. I read these two things in different places. They're both in the newspaper. One was in The Guardian. I think one was in The New York Times. But they felt the same.
Right.
So the first one was, I think I read it on Saturday. It was in The Guardian, and it was, if people want to read the whole thing, but it was an interview or an article on Stephen Hawking. And the part that I excerpted was, this is the most dangerous time for our planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts out, we can't go on ignoring inequality because we have the means to destroy our world, but not to escape it.
Really?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing was from a little column that runs every Monday in the New York Times. And it's called Metropolitan Diary, and it's little anecdotes that people send in from around the city. And so this one is, Dear Diary, I witnessed a verbal altercation between two women on the subway today. One was about 60 years old. The other was probably in her early 30s. The younger woman had a big bag around her shoulder and was holding onto a pole as the older woman entered the car. Don't you dare push me, the older woman yelled. That is your perception, the younger woman replied. I didn't know such thing. You bumped into my bag. The older woman insisted that the younger woman was wrong and escalated the argument. I tried to make eye contact with her to encourage her to calm down because I could sense that the situation was getting out of control. Then, to my surprise, the younger woman did something remarkable while trying to keep her cool. She asked the older woman, Do you need a hug? Why, yes, I do, the older woman said. The two women embraced and forgave each other.
And it was like, yeah, this can be how we work.
So that's those two things to me felt equal energetically.
Mm-hmm.
So the solution to where we are now is to stay connected to our hearts and to realize that we are very interconnected. It's almost impossible quite often to figure out what could I possibly have in common with these people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go underneath that, you can get to, we're all frightened.
Yes.
And if you can be vulnerable without giving yourself away, without putting yourself at risk, but just extend a kindness, that's as good as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with how it's received. So don't judge whether or not you're successful. Just don't let anybody take away your kindness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that is quite a tall order for me specifically.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
This whole Scorpio, the Pisces moon in the 11th house,
right.
It does not make it easy for me to walk around remembering that.
Right.
But what I try to do is don't walk around that much, honestly, because otherwise that gets taken away from me, and then I'm generating more of what we need to not generate,
right.
Which is judgment or fear or negative.
Right. And the judgment, fear, and negative is just kind of this whole, you know, that we're working with it in a different way, and we're really trying to grasp it, but we're not necessarily feeling like we're competent in it. So then we're kind of depressed, or we're upset, or we're having some kind of reaction.
Yeah, I mean, different people have it in different ways. It's,
yeah.
Some people are depressed, some people are afraid,
mm-hmm.
some people are quite angry, some people are aggressive, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important in your relationship with yourself to stay connected to your humanity and your goodness,
mm-hmm.
right now.
Yes.
Because
it's easy to not connect to those.
Well, or to lose it. And the instant I lose it, I have trained myself to notice
mm-hmm.
immediately that it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And to do what I can, I take myself away. I go, okay, you know, now you've just been induced, and how do you
mm-hmm.
How do I get myself back?
Right. And how do you do that? You just kind of come and then breathe?
It depends where I am. If I'm out and about,
mm-hmm.
Gloating is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Winning an argument's unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get sucked into arguing.
Oh, okay.
I went somewhere. Oh, I know. I went somewhere and there was a line and I didn't like the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So I tuned into the line
mm-hmm.
Before I decided whether I could stay or not.
Oh, okay.
So there are situations I walk into where I go, it's not good for you to stay.
Right, and then you pack up.
Yes, and they're about, you know, it's just because I'm, it's my life circumstance at the moment, but I'm spending an awful lot of time at home
mm-hmm.
Because Gina's not well, all that stuff, and I don't really like being in the city. I greatly prefer to be upstate,
mm-hmm.
and I, but I'm here I am, and I'm really careful about what I watch,
mm-hmm.
what I read,
mm-hmm.
what I expose myself to, and I constantly ask whether I'm expanding or contracting, and if I'm contracting, I get away from it.
Right.
So, like, I was shown a bunch of stuff that was on Saturday Night Live, which is, you know, meant to be funny and satirical.
Mm-hmm.
I just leave. I'm contracting, forget it.
Really? You're contracting at Alec Baldwin telling my...
yeah, it's just, it's not
it's
nice.
It's not funny. Yeah.
Well, forget funny. It's it's not coming from a loving place.
Oh, Saturday Night Live? No.
So I just stay away from it because you know, having no judgment about it. It's just right now I need to be around stuff that's kind of loving.
That wants to give you a hug. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a television series and the that I'm watching slowly. It's had 9 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's an old series called Foyle's War.
Mm-hmm.
F-O-Y-L-E-S,
mm-hmm.
War. And it's about a policeman during World War II.
Okay.
And he's it's decent.
Mm-hmm.
There's a decency. And so we're slowly making our way through that series.
Mm-hmm.
That helps. And it's consistent. And, you know, over time you know the people.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a television series, which I think I mentioned, called This Is Us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which looked really cute in the promos.
Yeah, and you got to get through the first episode and not judge it based on that, because it looks like it's a whole bunch of disparate scenarios, but it's not. It's the same people at different ages.
Oh, okay.
And you get to understand how they became the adults there, but it has deep kindness, basically.
Mm.
And people have very different developmental capacities.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all, there's very little unkindness. And when there is unkindness, they go, that was an unkindness.
Oh, they actually label it.
Yeah, so it's that's definitely helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that is helpful now, and the, you know, and I'm just kind of feeling my way along because I don't really have answers, and I'm as frightened as other people because I see a lot of things to be frightened about at the moment. But the most important thing is to maintain your sovereignty.
Yes.
And if you see something wrong, it's very important to know it,
mm-hmm.
and to identify whether it is important for you to stand up and speak out or not. But it's totally not okay, I don't think, to suppress a feeling you have that you have a responsibility in that moment. Because that's what happened in Germany.
Right. By not standing up and stopping.
Yeah, I mean, just little by little, people were led to become numb to the decisions that they were making to allow harm.
Mm-hmm.
And that we cannot do.
Right. Yeah. It was interesting last night on Facebook. I read a post that somebody said, I think I need to say this now. And he would recall the story of fourth grade. And they were all instructed to pay attention to the thing and then take notes. And the teacher turned the lights on and started screaming at one of the students, Stevie. He wasn't taking notes, even though he was not taking notes. And then she looked at the class and said, any of you want to defend him and say he was taking notes? And he said, a couple of us tried, but she withered us, and we sat right down. And then she sent Stevie off to the principal's office. And she came back, and she goes, do you see how easy it was? And he goes, we were reading Anne Frank. And, you know, she did this authoritarian thing. And so somebody commented, poor Stevie. But, you know, that the whole class had really gotten the lesson of how easy it was to be intimidated when an authority, you know, is screaming at somebody and, you know, you want to defend them. And people withered, even though poor Stevie was taking notes. And, you know, so it was kind of like, you know, he remembered the lesson from fourth grade since then. I don't know if he was Stevie or not, but I was like, yeah, that kind of thing. When they start doing it, it's like, what are you going to do? You know? Or how do you handle it?
Yeah, I mean, my life has been, when I look back, I don't fold in those moments.
Right.
I always, you know, I've gotten so much trouble when there is something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I challenge that.
Yeah.
So I have no idea what this is going to look like coming up, but...
you can feel it energetically, yeah.
Yeah, and for me, it's in my daily life, like there's lots and lots and lots of opportunities to become political or to go to rallies or to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not my place, because I check in and it's like, no, so you got to, like...
You got to find your path.
Well, it's develop a relationship with that internal guidance about, yes, you got to do this. And my stuff seems always to be me by myself, you know, like
mm-hmm.
situations in which I don't have a crowd around me of support.
Yeah.
But other people are, you know, getting very active in creating collaborative environments.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so it's just each person has their own role to play.
Their own path to follow.
Yes.
And so follow your path and just own that space. Yeah. Yeah, because it is very much about, well, what the direction is and where we're going with it.
And one place of comfort that I've had, and, you know, I don't mean to disrespect anybody whose politics are different than mine, but is that with the incoming administration, I've taken some comfort in an awful lot of people who voted for this incoming administration are the people who are going to be harmed by it, it looks like.
Yep.
And that they will wake up and see that they, in fact, got...
screwed.
Yeah. Well, and that's such a judgmental term.
They got an unanticipated outcome.
Yes. Well, what they are receiving is not
correct.
What they thought they were voting for.
Right.
But I talked to my mentor, and who did, as a child, go through it in
Germany.
Europe. Not in Germany, but in Czechoslovakia and in Switzerland, actually, which is not neutral. And she said that's not what's going to happen. The energy is such that... That group of people are not going to think we got duped. That group of people are going to think that the incoming president is also a victim, and they're going to... And that hadn't occurred to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's very important right now, very important, that you don't cede your personal responsibility. Like, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
What are your values?
Right.
And do not let anybody take away your values. When I was, I guess, 19 and 20, I lived in, junior in college, I lived in Jerusalem. But I went there not because of any religious stuff, for sure. I just went there because I thought my parents are not going to say you cannot go,
mm-hmm.
Which they did, but I went anyway. It was right after I had my first back surgery, so I was able to go. And I modeled. Basically, I just would, like, take off and model in Tel Aviv. And I was with this guy who was older, and, you know, it was a romance and all that. And I remember him driving me back. He was German, and he drove me back to where I was staying. And this was so... completely removed from anything going on, but he said, you must never trade away your self-respect, because it is a quality that once you've sold it off, you can never afford to rebuy it.
Really?
And it was like, you know that Clarice Leachman
mm-hmm.
moment where the Libesons go up on their haunches and lightning goes and
right,
dances?
Right, right.
It was like a Gene Wilder movie. It was like that. It went directly into my center. Like, out of nowhere, he said this, and it was one of those few things that people have ever said to me that went boom. And that has been a guideline of mine. Am I going to trade away my self-respect by moving forward in this way?
Okay.
And I won't do it.
Whenever the answer is yes, you don't do it.
I won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's quite important at the moment. And I hope that anybody who's listening to this is in a place where they cannot possibly not notice that they're trading away their self-respect by intentionally inflicting harm on another.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think our listener base probably doesn't do that.
No.
At least not the ones that write me that I know of personally.
Right. Right.
They tend to be the ones going, how do I do this now?
Right.
In a respectful but, you know, kind way.
And that does not mean, and the key to this is boundaries. One must have a working relationship with a good set of boundaries. So that's where, you know, therapists can come in. But you absolutely get to draw the line and say, no, I'm not comfortable with this arrangement between us. May we renegotiate it? And if the other people don't want to renegotiate it, say, oh, then I'm sorry, this is not going to work. That's totally fine. It's not about saying yes to everything.
Right.
But that's very different than intentionally inflicting harm on someone.
Yeah. Yeah, the intentional versus the unintentional.
And the next thing that comes up for me, I'm just feeling my way along here, is people have very varied experiences of emotional maturity. And that's neither good nor bad. Like, everybody's on their own path, and we're all here, and you do your own thing. But it's good to realize I got into it wasn't a heated argument, but it was certainly a spirited discussion about love with someone. And she said that I was totally wrong about something having to do with it. And she had a very different experience. And that I had to take into account how she grew up, what her experience was. Otherwise, I was going to go down that I was judging her place. And it's somebody I like. And I experimented because what was at risk was minimal. So it's a great opportunity to experiment, and I just did it. And I'm going, she's not looking to inflict harm on anybody purposefully. It's just that she's fusing a couple of things together, so this is an obstacle to her loving someone. Because I said you can like somebody but not – you can love somebody but not like them. You know, and what that means is that there are people who – very much in my heart, but I don't really respect the choices they make.
Right.
But I notice that I continue to love them, and I'm very clear I don't respect the choices they're making, period.
Right.
So it's a way of up-leveling one's discernment.
Yes.
And that happened just before the election, this conversation, and it's held me in good stead as I try to look out.
Right, because it is possible to do both and understand it on that level.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there are people who are being held out in public who are doing horrible things. And I just, it's like if I'm driving and there's a bad accident, everybody slows down to look. I do not look, even if I'm slowing down. It's like, it's enough, I just keep going. So I don't find any stickiness between my needing to know what they're doing and me. It's just they're living in a different dimension as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
I have nothing. There's nothing there for me to pay attention to. I want to know what's on. I don't need to know any more about them.
Right.
They you know, a lot of the appointees are have bad track records.
Right. Yeah, they are. And not pleasant either.
Yeah, so I don't know if this was helpful.
I think it was. British
but
lady
I tried.
Gave us, you know, she's our little boundary girl. She gave us our boundary.
Yes.
So are we next week? Are we Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday.
Back to Thursday, okay.
Back to Thursday.
Thursday at 10.
Yes.
So you guys have to go 8 days before you hear us again. But it'll be good. And it's rainy here in New York. I'm going to go get myself a cup of coffee, make myself a pot of coffee, and have a cup of it. And what's your next task on this rainy day?
My next task is to get myself organized. I have one client I want to call, but then I'm going to the gym.
Oh, nice. A little self-care.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Cool. Well, happy Scorpios talking to you, Michael. Happy
and
Wednesday.
And to you, Annie.
Big hugs and lots of love. And,
you too.
Yeah, it's all. It's a rainy day in New York, you know.
I think it's supposed to stop raining soon.
I hope so. My foot hurts in the rain.
Yeah.
My new weather barometer, it goes throb, throb, throb. But last night I was like, what the hell, man? And I realized it started raining, and it was just aches. Yeah.
Yep.
But that's its job. It's here to tell me the weather has changed. An alert from the foot. So happy week, folks.
And to you.
Yeah, big hugs and lots of love, everybody.
Take care.
Remember, hug people on the train if they need it.
Yeah, really. But ask first.
Ask first, right? Don't just grab them. They might pepper spray you. Do you need a hug? I need a hug. Yeah, it's all good. Take care. Bye.
Bye.